We are very happy this morning that Brother Cushing Lee from Riverside, California is with us. Very happy he can be with us this morning. Our brother has been serving the church in Riverside for many years, and some of us have met him in the past. And last year, I think it was 6 months ago, he was here at NYU for that gospel forum.
Right.
And particularly in recent years, our brother has always been serving in the church in Riverside, but in recent years, they have particularly opened their homes to receive many students and scholars visiting that campus. And we heard that they not only led many to the Lord and brought many into the church life through their homes. And the students and the scholars were helped by them, numbered into the hundreds. And so we're very happy that our brother can visit us today. He will give us some of his personal testimonies this morning. And because of he will be with us for a few days, so we also have arranged a special time of fellowship tomorrow evening, because those saints who are not meeting here this morning will not have a chance to hear our brother. So we have arranged this. So tomorrow evening, it will be open to all the saints, and for the sake of those who work, and we will prepare a simple supper. So you can come. You don't need to go home and eat supper. And since Tuesday is also a working day, so we want many saints could come to enjoy our brother's sharing. And we hope there will be also some Q&A time. So tomorrow evening at we will start our simple supper probably between 6 and 6:30. And so the saints can come after work or after school. And then we can start the meeting at 7:30 tomorrow evening. So we hope you pass the word around, has been announced. And all those who can come tomorrow night, we hope we'll see you. So this morning we'd like to hear from our brother, Christian.
Greetings, saints. Very happy to be here, to be as a member of the body of Christ, blending with all the saints. I really enjoy the Lord's table meeting, especially the hymn we sang to the Father in number 25. We are indeed the vessels of mercy the Father has bestowed upon us, and so that we can be, as a sinner, be regenerated to be the sons of God. What a blessing. You know, this reminds me in Ephesians chapter 1, and that's actually one of my favorite. Blessed be the Father of God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, who have chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we shall be holy, that we can be his many sons. And through that, in his divine economy, not only we have a Father's choosing, selection, predestination, we also have Son's redemption. And not only we have the Son's redemption, and all this is just your so great a salvation we send in the Lord's table. And we also have a spiritual spirit to come to pledge in us. Not only regenerate us, today he's actually our portion, our inheritance, and he's actually seating us. That is, to stamp us, to put his image on us, to put his substance into us, that we can be his inheritance. What a privilege. Amen. And in all this, of course, it's not just for our individual benefit, because it's continued that also all this, he accomplished everything, is to the church. in which we are a member of the church. The church is the body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all and in all. So God's eternal purpose, certainly his eternal purpose is that to gain a body for Christ, and which of course is the bride of the Christ also, and the consummate in the New Jerusalem. But in this process, of course, the triune God in his divine dispensing, he's doing a lot of things. That's what we say, this Christ, this God himself, went through a tremendous process. That is many, many steps, many, many things. And for the purpose that he can gain you, gain me. You know, I recall I was born in a typical atheist family. But we thank the Lord, in time, he saved me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I was doing my own things. But one day, the Lord came to me. And through certainly the prayers and so forth, I was saved, got regenerated. But initially, I did not know too much about the God's eternal purpose. I only know I was happy myself. I got saved, you know. And I find my joy. And the purpose of my human life is that we can have the eternal life. But of course, later on, as in the church life, and more, the Bible, the truth began to reveal to me. And so that gradually I know God is actually not just an infinite power, but God is a person with a feeling, with thoughts, with purpose, and actually with a desire, with good pleasure. And in that, he actually arranged everything in this whole universe. The creation, the arrangement, and actually the existence of you, the existence of me, even all the world situation arranged just for one purpose, that is to fulfill his good pleasure in his heart. And what is his good pleasure? His good pleasure is to, number one, to reveal his son Christ in us. So that we can be regenerated. But that's not stopping there. Not only we have the life of God, but we also have to grow in this life to the full mature man. And not in the individual way, but in the corporate way, so that we can be a full grown man, the one new man. And this one new man is not only mature in life, in stature, but also in its full function. As the body of Christ, so the head of the body of Christ can today continue to live and to express himself. We just have the Lord's table. The Lord set up his table. On the night he set up this, he says, take this bread and eat. This is my body. Well, he was saying that this body was broken. And of course, this signified his physical body was crucified on the cross. But we can eat and drink whatever he has accomplished for us. And today, his physical body, and today, through his redemption, death, and the resurrection, we are taking him in symbolically, but in spirit, we do take him in. Amen. And eat him, drink him, and we became his mystical body, the universal body of Christ, so that the head today, after 2,000 years, through his death and resurrection, this head ascended to Christ today can still live through his body. Amen. And we are the member of his body. What a privilege. Oh, Lord Jesus, we have been firmly attached to him. And today, as the head of the body, he's living through his members. That is every one of you and me. And in this, of course, it's not just you and me. The Bible says he desires all men to be saved. And the greatest prophecy, greatest promise in the Bible, everyone says in Matthew, the Christ says, I will build my church. But how does he build his church, though? How does he build it? And certainly he has done in his earthly ministry the full judicial redemption. And then today in his heavenly ascended ministry, he's doing the organic salvation, and through you and me, and also through you and me, by our daily enjoying of him, we can grow. But also through our living him out, we can also get all men to be saved, to fulfill his desire. Today, God cannot do anything except through you and me in full cooperation with the head, Christ himself. Brother Chu mentioned, I would like to give my testimony. I was saved when I was a college student as a freshman. Initially, just enjoyed the church life, not knowing a lot of things. But I thank the Lord, I was saved in the Lord's recovery. But then that was almost 50 years ago. That maybe dated me a bit. But what I'm saying is this. At those times, I did not have the privilege to have all the today's high peak of the divine truth. It took quite a bit of time for me to get to it. But I was very happy I'm living today. We can receive not only the printed Bible, translated Bible, but an opened Bible. There are many throughout the 2,000 years, many people read the Bible with different various ways. But today, I can honestly say the Bible is really opened to us according to God's desire, according to God's central thoughts. There are many things in the Bible, but we must ask, what is the center? What's the primary center, the purpose of the Bible? Of course, we'll know the Bible is the Word of God to reveal, number one, himself. And certainly, in himself, actually revealed to us, he has a divine plan. He has a good pleasure. In the council of the divine Trinity, there's a decision made that they want to do something. That is, he wants to gain a body for Christ. But in that, there's a lot of process. In all the wisdom, prudence, arranged all kinds of things. Throughout the ages come down. And being a young man at that time, all the young men are somewhat ambitious. We have our own plan and so forth. But eventually, if I find out, all my plan, everything I can think of, being a scientist, created, invented many things, tried to improve the human living and so forth, all those things are the best temporary. At the worst, has many, many unexpected negative side effects. That's what the science is all about. And many times I joke with my colleagues. I say, in this chemist and so forth, invented many things. And then you can do again to solve your, try to improve and solve your own problem. You have a mutual assurance of employment. But that's just joking with them because they solve something, created more problems. And then they have solved this, and then they create more problem. And it's just incessant, unending cycles, and so forth. So, this is indeed a job security for all of them. But eventually, thank the Lord, through his revelation, I do see God's eternal purpose. What is God is doing, which is something eternal. And then I just discard all that, really dive into this. So this is, to make a long story short, and this is about 1991. I was in a meeting with Brother Lee. The history is this. We went on in certain ways, and Brother Lee in U.S., in Taiwan, he came to U.S., really bring in, I would call it, the ministry of the age, which is really open up the God's economy. That is, through the central land, what really God's desire throughout the ages that's been revealed in the Bible, rather than all the details, this and that. There are many good things in the Bible, there's no doubt. Everything is very good, it's along the Lord's heart, but what was really the center? What was really the center? So certainly, the truth in the Bible is a primary and the fundamental, because that's the reality. And it's through the truth, and then that will bring us into light and into life. And without the life, without the light, and so forth, we do not have the foundation. The truth is the guideline, the goal. Tell us where to go, what to do, and so forth. But it's the lifeline to carry it out. But what's the goal then? Well, the goal, as we said in here, is really to build up the church, because that's God's, the Lord's promise. And the Ephesians said very clearly, all these divine dispensing of the divine Trinity into the tripartite man is for the one goal, to build up the church, which is the body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all and in all. This word may be simple, but to unpack its content is really profound and unbounding, infinite in there. But I don't have much time to get into this, but suffice to say, I was caught. The fullness, the God is infinite, but then he still have a fullness. And where is the fullness? The fullness is the church. That's you and me. So without the you and me, God, although is eternity completed by itself, but in some ways, is still lack the fullness. But anyway, and then this is what God is doing. But then we could get into a bit more. How does God accomplish this, though? Is God doing himself, all by himself? Actually, that's not the case. Because God, in his new creation, is always in principle of incarnation. That is, he wants to get into man and do everything through man in cooperation with him. This is the new creation, out from the old creation. So we need to give him the full cooperation. So in Ephesians later on, he says this, and then he gave many in the form of the gifts to his church. And there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and so forth. And then in order to perfect all the saints unto the work of the ministry, which is what? Unto the work of the ministry, which is to build up the body of Christ. So in other words, in this portion of the word, it says very clearly, how does God build up the church, which is his body? Through every member of the body of Christ. Through every member of the body of Christ. So everyone, every saved one is a member of the body of Christ. Function may be different, but all members. So all the members need to function, to grow, to enjoy Christ, so that we can gain Christ's dispensing into us. We can grow in life, but a grow in life, life is for what? For function. If just a life is static, you know, inanimated, and then it's just a dead corpse. But the life, we have a vitality, we're living, and then it's for action. For what? For doing the work. So that's why it says, unto the work of the ministry, which is the ministry of the New Testament, or the New Testament ministry, unique one. That is to build up the body of Christ. So, probably in a certain stage, you know, from the 70s and so forth, he studied, released a series of the life study of the Bible. Every book of the Bible, book by book, in a detailed way, revealed. And later on, continue on into the crystallization study. So, in his realization is this. The truth has been really, really to the peak. So that's called the high peak of the divine truth. All inheriting, all including. Throughout the ages, every divine truth has been recovered and also included in the ministry. The divine truth is there, been released to all the saints, and all the saints are enjoying the divine truth. And also, there's a certain measure of the growth and life in all the saints by the enjoyment of the truth, which is the reality. But what's lacking is what? But what's lacking is the building up of the body, certainly in the substance, you may say, in terms of the quality, that's in terms of the saints' inward life. But also, the body of Christ also has a stature and a measure, which need to be increased also. That is, we need to grow in number also. After all the ministry is to feed all the people. God does desire all men to be saved. So this aspect is fairly lacking. That's why he was very burdened to actually impart the saints with the other aspect of it revealing the Bible. That is, the recovery is not only just recover the truth, life, and these things, but also recover the practices so that all these truth and the life can be actually practically carried out in a practical way. So it's not just we have a blueprint. That looks like very good. But we need to step by step to build the building. And how do we do that? That is through every saint to function and to be perfected. So, and then he says, okay, let me go back to the Bible again to see how does this work out. And actually he find out, actually it's all not complicated. Actually, through the very first day, the church came into existence in Acts 2, after the Pentecost. And then 5,000 got saved, 4,000 got saved, added to the church. What do they do, though? How do they continue? Of course, in Acts 2, we see very clearly that these ones got saved, they continue steadfast in the teaching fellowship of the apostles. That, again, is the truth and life, the supply. But then we enjoy this. Where do they do that? And then, of course, they continue this, continue steadfastly. That is, never stop. And also in the temple and also from house to house. So in the temple, of course, that's because the Jewish background. And that's the gathering place. We do need that. But also in the daily life, they gather from house to house. And then continue that from house to house in the fellowship, in the and also they take the bread, breaking the bread in exulting joy. And through that, it says the following. The numbers have been added to the together. That means what? In their house-to-house gathering, it's not just they themselves enjoy it, but also they have their friends, neighbors, other people came to enjoy together with them. And then when they enjoy this, they become what? They enjoy the same thing. They got saved, so therefore they got added together. And that's how the church grow. So the church grow by certainly our enjoyment of the word, by the riches of the speaking, of the apostles' teaching, apostles' fellowship. And today, actually, this is what we need to be filled with the word. We need to be filled with the enjoyment of the reality. And in that, in our living, that is mostly in our homes and so forth, and then with such enjoying with all the neighbors, friends, colleagues, and so forth, whoever our acquaintances invite them to join us for a meal, because they said they take their, breaking their bread, right? You have to understand that, that breaking bread is not this what we are doing today, you know, those tables. That means just eat together. Breaking the bread means they eat together, day by day, in that way. And so in that is in their very practical daily life, they enjoy the Lord, invite their friend, and in that, the word, the gospel got propagated, and the people got saved, added to the church. But, and then in the 90s, and Brother Lee look at the statistics, and it says the increase rate is actually at the best 2% yearly. And this is a very, very unsatisfactory. So now, you know, and let me go faster. And then 1991, I remember it's a winter time because later on I did find some messages got printed. It's the following. Brother Lee started studying this, how can we all the saints to function so that everyone can bear fruit to gain the increase. Now, brothers and sisters, we have to understand, to gain the increase is not just gain the increase sake. In other words, we know very clearly, Brother Lee is very clear about the God's economy. He knows our preaching the gospel is not just traditionally save soul. Certainly that's part of it, but that's not the end of it. But on the other hand, without the people got saved, we don't have a next step. Just like many times they say, well, we need to have people in the high tech and the so forth get the PhD, but we got to start it with what? With kids, with elementary school education. We don't have any birth, and we don't have any people. And how are we going to have all these mature persons? So he go back to this. So in that meeting, actually that was meeting was to the elders and the co-workers. And he said the following. I remember it very clearly. He said, I've been speaking this many times with you about this and that and so forth. But now I'm talking to you. That is, all the leading ones and so forth. And whosoever will, I challenge you this way. He says, the way that you open up your home to invite the people and to share the gospel with people, that's the best way and the guaranteed will get the increase. And he said the following. He challenged all of us. He said, brothers, you know, I'm speaking to you. Don't go back to speak to charge all the saints. He said, in the past, what happened was, I spoke to you, and then you in turn spoke to the saints, and the saints may not respond, and then that's the end of it. So nothing happens. He says, this time, I'm speaking to you. Don't go back to tell the saints, do this, do that. You do it yourself. And he says, okay, do this. He said, if 1 year, for 52 weeks, if you, every Friday, or once a week, you open up your home, get the new ones, invite the new ones, and so forth, and then you do this for 52 weeks, and see whether you get the new ones or not. And I remember he says, you know, if you cannot get the new ones, you come to me. And later on, I find that some of these got edited out in the printed version, you know, which is expected, okay. But I remember, I take the challenge. So I say, okay, Brother Lee, okay, you said it. Okay, I'll take up your challenge. And I went back and then talked with my wife and share with what the brother shared. I said, how about let's do this. Okay, I have a agreement with my wife. I say the following. I said, okay, we'll do what the brother Lee said. For the coming year, we'll do this for 1 year. Every week, we'll open up our home, and to carry out what the brother Lee talked about the meeting. Now the meeting, this home meeting he was talking about, is not just the saints come together to enjoy the Lord. I said, that doesn't count. The count for 50 weeks is this. You will have the new ones there. And then that counts. Okay. Because many times, you know, we saints, we get together, we really enjoy the Lord. We have a good time. We sing the song, we enjoy the Lord, or the ministry are rich and so forth. But Brother Lee's point is this. If week after week, year after year, we saints, we come together, enjoy the Lord, but no increase, and then eventually we're going to all die out. So this is not the way to go. So he said, the meeting we're talking about, he's talking about, is the meeting with the new ones. So you have to go find the new ones. Okay. So my agreement, or you may say fellowship with my wife, it says the following. I said, okay, how about this? Let's say every Friday, let's just say the Friday, y'all. Every Friday, let's prepare a meal. And you do the cooking, I'll get the new ones. And at the time I thought, you know, I got a much harder job. And indeed, it's not. Okay, so we do that. And then, well, he's always cooking, so cooking not a problem. But I get the new ones, you know, you really have to. Yeah. Well, my wife actually, since Peter mentioned it, I have 5 children. At that time, very, very young. And my wife also has a full-time job. I live in Riverside, as Brother mentioned. And Riverside has a reputation called the bedroom community. That means people sleep in Riverside, but they all work in Orange County, in Los Angeles, because that's where the jobs are. So she has to commute one way about an hour and a half. So you spend about 3 hours on the road. And some of these details I can tell you later. But let me get to the main line. So for this, we take it very seriously. It's not just a half-hearted way. My wife and I decided on this. He agreed. So we all say, okay, we're going to do it for a year. And that actually, we every day before we go to the bed, we pray for this. You know, it's not we just do it, you know. Every day, every night, before we go to bed, we pray for this Friday night's meeting. Lord, give us the new ones. Get the new ones saved. Lord, just pray for this meeting so that the new ones can be gained for the Lord's body. And also, we pray for this, and then I have to pray, Lord, where can I get a new one? So I began to contact people and this and that and so forth. And the Lord was a bit humorous. And I work at the University of California, Riverside. Now, naturally, I say try to get the students, get those around the campus there. It turned out, well, no new ones want to come. And eventually, what I can get one was about 30 minutes away, another college in San Bernardino, another city. It's called the Cal State University of San Bernardino. And there's one who is open. But then that was half an hour away, one way, another half hour to get back. And this one doesn't have a vehicle. Oh, Lord Jesus. And it became a challenge. So, but then, since we have such agreement with the Lord, I have to get the new ones, right? Otherwise, the meeting doesn't come. But the Lord give you one, but it's a half an hour away. Are you going to get it or not? Yeah. So I said, Lord, okay, if that's one you open, I'll go get it. So my wife, you know, prepared a meal. There are some other saints, you know, about a small number of the saints. So I, you know, before the meeting, I half hour there, half an hour to get back, and after meeting, another hour to send this one back. So we do have one new one. Hallelujah. And this went on for quite a few months, and then, but this one still not saved. And then she graduated. Oh, Lord, she go to somewhere else. And then, okay, I said, okay, well, we contact the new locality, you know, with the saints there, says, oh, here's a new one. We have been shepherding for a while, but haven't got saved. Would you please take care of this one? The good thing is after a couple of months, and this one did saved and baptized. But that's that, though. But I still need the new ones, right? I still need the new ones. So I continue to pray and to contact people and so forth. And then there was a sister came from Taiwan. And then, but her husband was not saved. But this husband doesn't want to come to the meeting. He will drop her, the sister, to my home meeting, and then he will go back to the lab. And after the meeting, he will come back to pick up her his wife. But just about this time, this one, new one, the first one, left for the locality. And then he said, well, all this time, you know, I just got out of curiosity. He said, let me go in to take a look what's going on there. And so, well, he's a new one. Hallelujah. Because he hasn't got saved. So he came to the meeting. But the good thing is that eventually he was saved. And this is almost till the tail end of the 1 year. And so, and he got saved, and then later on another one got saved. And these two, they both are students at my campus. And they themselves actually become, one is a brother, the other is a sister in chemistry department. And they actually, once they got saved into the church life, they really become evangelists. They really have the burden to get the new ones. And so after this, and then these new ones got saved. So that year, if I remember correctly, at least the two was baptized in my home. So, well, in a way, Brother Lee's challenge worked. So I have nothing to say. So, in other words, I cannot go back to Brother Lee and say, hey, Brother Lee, it didn't work. Now I don't need to do this anymore. But actually, two got saved. And not only got saved, actually, they began to bring the new ones. Of course, I continued to do that. And then, to make the long story short, is that after a period of time, we got so many new ones. Actually, I don't need to actually get the new ones myself. I spend most of the time shepherding them and so forth, so on. And sometimes they say, well, and then the rest is the history. Once that get going, always certain things is this. When you get started, it's difficult. Like set up a fire. You know, it's smoldering for a while. You have to keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. After you get a critical point, boom, it's ignited. Once it's ignited, it just continue itself. It just continue to start the fire it will continue. And so my home meeting from that time, initially about 7 or 8, 5 or 6, and it fluctuates, and it gradually to grow. And after a while, it grew to about 40, sometimes got 50 steadily every week. So actually, my initial deal with my wife, actually in the long term, I was much easier because she gets to cook for 40 or 50 every week. And I don't need to get new ones myself. But I do have to prepare. We do continue to pray for this every day. And we do need to prepare not only the meal, we need to prepare the spiritual food also. Prepare the word and so forth, so on, so that these ones not just come for the food physically, but actually eventually they all got fed by the spiritual food.
Amen.
To make the long story short, we continue steadfastly, and then as the number grow and many saints brought in and so forth, we really coordinate together, pray and take care of the new ones. In Riverside, we have here, because mostly with the students, eventually, and as I just mentioned, Riverside is the bedroom community. We don't have much job there. And all these, most of them are master students, PhD, exchange scholars, and so forth. After they graduated, they all get a job somewhere else. And now, actually, just last time, in one of the gatherings in the Italy, some brothers I never know, he said, "Hey, brother Kishin, I want to thank you. Thank me what? We are enjoying the fruit of your labor in our locality." Just in different places, actually. But my point is this, brothers and sisters. Brother Lee says the following. According to the New Testament pattern, ever since the church get started, the church life mostly for all the saints to function, the way is that in the homes. We certainly know in many passages in the Bible, the church in somebody's home, and because the person started, and that's the place they can gather. And so even today, even the church like this big in New York and so forth, but they say still the 80% of the saints' church life are in the homes. We do need the big gatherings, but that's about the 20%, because we live in the home. We don't live in the meeting hall, right? So Lord's Day we get together, prayer meeting we get together, but that's how many hours in a week. We got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and so forth. And most of the time, we are not in the meeting hall. So therefore, the church life is not just a meeting life. Church life is our daily life. Church life is our daily life. We never take a departure from the church life because church life, so that's our daily living. So most of our livings are in the homes. Whether contact this one, contact that one, and actually with our children, young people, all taken care of mostly in our homes. So for this, actually, we need to open up our homes. That is, in the Acts 2, it says from house to house. That is, everyone, almost like a taking turn and so forth. Every home, every house is open for this.
Amen.
The Paul in the Ephesians, in Acts, when he sent for the elders to Ephesus, he said, for three years, I was with you, and then I go from house to house. Fellowship with you in tears and so forth. And that's how Paul actually taking up the saints, taking up the church. Church in Ephesus was not very big. So it's very easy, you may say, gather everybody together to do it. But Paul, I'm sure he has a big meetings. But his emphasis is this, to the elders, to the saints there, he actually, while he was at the Ephesus, he actually did this house to house. And then to shepherd them, to supply them, to all the counsel of the God's word, he revealed to them. He hold nothing back to tell them about everything that's profitable to them. So this is the New Testament way. That is, our church life, the saints' church life, is in the home. In that, all the saints can function. all the saints, you know, this morning, I'm the one who functions more. Sorry about that. Because, you know, we have a larger number, and there's not enough time. But then, of course, this is only once the Lord's Day morning. But how about this afternoon, tomorrow, and so forth, in our job, and so forth. All the saints, we have the responsibility to really live out the Christ. This live out Christ is to bear the fruit. In John 15, the Lord said very clearly, for that is that we abide in him, he is the true vine, we are the branches. But branches of a vine tree, the only responsibility as we enjoy all the riches where the Father, this divine vine tree, the Father is the husbandman, put all the riches of the Godhead in the divine vine tree, and we are the branches enjoying all the riches. For what purpose, though? It's so that we can just grow a lot of branches. It says, so that we can bear fruit. We can bear fruit. And later on, in the same chapter, in the later part, it says, you know, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I set you with a purpose. That is, in Ephesians 1, the Father's predestination, choosing before the foundation of the world. And echoed in this passage in John chapter 15, you did not choose me. Because before the foundation world, we didn't exist. But the Father already chose us. He says, I choose you, and I set you. That is, with a purpose, with a commission. That is, so that you may bear fruit. And not only bear fruit, that your fruit will remain. And this is the positive side. But on the negative side, he also gives the warning. That is, if a branch who does not bear fruit, you'll be what? You'll be cut off. That is, separated from the real enjoyment of the rich supply of the divine tree, of the true vine tree. And this is a serious matter. This is a very serious matter. We don't want to be cut off from being attachment to the true vine so that we can enjoy all the rich supply. But here's the question, though. Many times we say, well, we do enjoy the ministry. We enjoy the word. When we get together, we do enjoy. Yeah, but we got to ask this. If we are in a healthy situation, if we do, it's a healthy branch without any defects or any hidden problems, and then the question is, why there's no fruit year after year, though? That means there must be some hidden blockage to hinder the fruit bearing. Because in a healthy, normal situation, a branch is set because the Lord said, I set you to bear fruit. That's the purpose. The Lord will supply everything so that we can bear fruit. But then if there's no fruit, and then there must be some problem, we have to take care of this matter. Watchman Nee has an experience in the following way. After he got saved, he certainly was a very, very burden for the gospel. He wanted to share the gospel with his friends, classmates, and so forth. But somehow, his preaching the gospel and then was not effective. No one got saved. He can say this, say that, and so forth, and then no one got saved. So he fellowshiped with an older saint to ask him, what's the problem? And then this one says the following. Is there anything you are struggling with the Lord? You know, there's anything you are struggling. You cannot get through. And the watchman said, oh, well, there's nothing. And one time he was reading in Psalms, and it says, well, on earth I have no one. In heaven there's no one I desire. But then all of a sudden he got paused. In heaven certainly there's no one. But on earth there is one. That is, you may say, his childhood, grow up, sweetheart. And this one was not saved. Not only not saved, she sometimes mock him. The Lord, he believed. He was really struggling. He didn't know what to do. He was trying to bargain with the Lord. Lord, don't touch this matter. I'll go to you know, the Inner Mongolia. I'll go to this place and that place. I'll preach the gospel and this and that. But the Lord don't answer. And eventually, thank the Lord, Brother Ni, he actually dealt with this matter. And actually, he just gave her up. And actually for that, if I remember correctly, he wrote a hymn. 主爱长阔高深, yeah. 实在, you know, anyway. In other words, he actually gets through. Once he got through on that, his gospel preaching become prevailing. Once he gets through that. So my point is this. Even with our brother's experience, and our experience is the following. If we, our gospel preaching has a problem, year after year, we don't have the fruit. We have to open to the Lord. Lord, what is the blockage? What is something hidden in me that I don't even know? Lord, expose it. Lord, deal with this matter so that I can be fruitful, that I can really enjoy your riches to the real full extent. So gospel preaching, you may say, or the being fruitful, is an indication whether we are healthy before the Lord or not. It's an indication. If year after year we don't have anyone we can be saved, can bring them to the Lord as the branch of the true vine tree, and then something must be hidden there. We need to pray to the Lord, Lord, show me. I don't know. I want to be fruitful. Because this matter is serious. Because we may consider we're enjoying the Lord. Brother Lee, when I dare not say this, say what the brother said is the following. He says, sometimes the saints, if we think we are enjoying the Lord, but on the other hand, in reality is that year after year, we don't have the fruit. He says, we might be self-deceiving. In other words, we are not really enjoying the Lord. We are just enjoying our soul. We are just enjoying our soul, not in the spirit. Something there, we are just glossing over. And this is a serious matter. Saints, don't we want to all grow before the Lord? We don't want to be stagnant. We don't want to be cut off from the real enjoyment of the Lord. And actually, you'll notice, the Lord comes, he does require fruit. Even, of course, that's a typology, got the dispensational significance, but nevertheless, the situation is still real. That is, you know that one time the Lord came, was hungry, came to a fig tree, and saw no fruit. Right? And what happened? The tree was cursed and withered. And another time, you say, well, there's no tree and so forth, and no fruit. You want to chop it down. And the other says, just wait a year. Let's, cultivate it and then give more fertilizer, manure, and so forth. Let's see next year what's happened. If it's still no fruit, then we chop it down. So in a sense, you know, on the one hand, the Lord is very, very merciful. On the other hand, the Lord does expect the fruit from us. Paul has such an urgency. He says the following. That is, you know, he says, I'm a laboring priest and so forth. And to offer the Gentiles as a sacrifice. And also he says the following. So that he says, I am what I am, okay, by the grace of God. But when we enjoy the grace of God, he says, so that the grace will not be in vain. In other words, when we enjoy, if there's no outcome, there's no fruit, that means all this enjoyment from God's point view is in vain. That is, all this dispensing ends up with nothing. In vain. And so, when he enjoyed this grace, he says, well, so the grace will not be in vain. And then he says the following, as I labor more abundantly than all of them, that is, all the other so-called other apostles. So the enjoyment of the grace has a certain output, result, That is, we actually become labor more abundantly than anybody else. In other words, the indication of our enjoyment of the grace has a certain manifestation, a certain results. Ultimately, of course, from Paul's point of view, he said, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I can be co-partners, co-enjoyers of the gospel. And then he's a laboring priest. Priests have to offer something for the God's satisfaction. God's food is the offering. It's God's food. If we don't offer something to the Lord is hungry. This is actually very, very much set out in the Old Testament as a typology. So today, the Lord is hungry. Hungry for our real offering. Of course, our offering, your burnt offering, has many aspects, certainly. But one aspect is indeed offering up the Gentiles as a living sacrifice, acceptable to God. That is very good, having been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So this says not only we need to be to get the people saved, that's certainly one part, and to continue, we need to shepherd them. Not only we need to be getting them, we need to nourish them, cherish them, shepherd them, perfect them, so that they can be full grown and acceptable, full grown, acceptable, a real acceptable sacrifice for the Lord's satisfaction. This is being a universal priesthood. There are many, many aspects, but in every aspect, we still come back to this. As branches, we need to bear fruit. As priests, we need to offer living sacrifices. You know, we just went through the winter training. The last message is that, well, saints, we have been saved from Egypt, from Pharaoh's tyranny, from God's, you may say, the punishment. We have gone through the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. By the blood, we got saved. And by his mighty power, hand, and then we got left Egypt, passed through the Red Sea. We've been baptized. We become God's people, solely for his purpose. For what? He says, I let you out with a strong hand, with eagle's wing, so that you can be a priesthood for me. And this priesthood, of course, is universal. Everyone come out is a priest. Now later on, because of their failure, so that's why, you know, went to one tribe. But nevertheless, God's original intention is everyone is a priest. This, of course, we covered in the New Testament. In Peter, it says very clearly, God is a living stone, we are all living stones. We come together to build up a spiritual house as a holy nation, holy priesthood, and also later on is the royal priesthood to offer the spiritual sacrifices. And then in verse 5, in this 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9, it says what? The priesthood also is to tell out his virtues. That is, to announce him, to announce the Christ to all the other people, to tell out his virtues. Amen. So in a very brief way, I give you my testimony, and now actually, you know, it's by the Lord's mercy, and also through the prayer and the cooperation and the coordination with all the saints. And then in my home, the many times they say my bathtub probably is the most valuable item in my home. My bathtub, you know, at least a couple hundred people got baptized in my bathtub, but you know, not just me. It's really Lord's mercy, and also with all the, in the body, with the saints, much prayer and so forth. So it's really a joy, because everywhere, many times I go to this place, and to tell the truth, I don't even remember them. There's just too many people. They say, oh, I've been to your house, this and that. I was baptized, and, I have five children. Sometimes I forgot their name also. My wife always excuse me, and I call this one that name, call this one that name. But the sense is really a joy, you know, because when we have the fruit, and then that's really make our joy full, because this is to the glory of the Father. My conclusion is this. Saints, it is doable. If we are serious with the Lord is serious with us. It's just maybe you can take this challenge also. It's not my challenge, but it is challenge, okay? Maybe you can consider with yourself, with your wife, talk about this. Maybe you can also make a vow or make a decision. Try for a year. Every once a week, consistently. Whichever the day is good, and then you invite the new ones. Get the new ones. Backsliding ones probably also count, but at least just the new ones. New ones, that means they are not usually in the church life, okay? And so invite them, and you just continue this. And it is normal, right, for all the human beings, normal, and so forth, the fruit trees, the bear fruit once a year. So if we all can do this in a cooperative way, coordinated way, pray for one another, and we pray ourselves, take those words seriously, and then we can probably all bear one fruit a year, and remaining fruit. So for that, we do need to have some plan, some consideration before the Lord, make some arrangement. It's all worthwhile. After all, you know, only these ones. Many times I say, I have 5 children. They say, oh, that's very good. But on the other hand, my consideration of this, we all need them even more so, the spiritual children. After all, our physical children is only in the old creation. But spiritual children is in the new creation. And that's the reality. And that will go to all eternity. Whereas our physical children, if they are not being brought into the new creation, that will be all this relationship will be dissolved after all creation passed away. So it's a very serious matter for us all to be fruitful and not barren. In the Old Testament, your barrenness is a great, great shame. We need to pray desperately that we will not be barren. I'm talking about spiritual sense. We need to pray desperately, Lord, remove the shame of being barren, that we want to be very fruitful for you. And so that this is what, to the Father's glory. In John 15, it says, if we bear fruit, actually, he, whatever we ask for the sake of the bearing the fruit, the Lord will provide for us. We may ask many other things, but if we ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, I want to be fruitful. To supply me. Supply, of course, in many aspects. Supply us with the strength and also be able to deal with certain hidden matters. That's also bring us into the real experience and the enjoyment of the Lord's subjective salvation. Otherwise, this is something hidden, blockage. We cannot grow. Certainly, we may need to have a lot of confession. Certainly, we may need to deal with certain things, like Watchman Nee did, and so forth. But if we're serious with the Lord, Lord Jesus, supply me. Your resurrection life, supply me, so that I have the strength to deal with these matters. Lord, I want to be fruitful. We ask the Lord. And if John 15 says, he will answer, he will supply us. And when we are fruitful, and then this is to the glory of the Father. Because Father's life is a propagating life, right? That's why the Father. It's not just God. God the Father. Father means what? You have children, then you have a father. You don't have any children, you're not a father. But Father's life, Father wants to be manifested. Father wants to be glorified. So when we are fruitful and then multiply, Father is being glorified. And in Luke 15, when each one, any one of the sinners got saved, the heaven and the earth rejoicing to make our joy full. You know, many times I say this to the saints. Anytime you have a problem, you're depressed, you got down, disappointed, find somebody to preach the gospel. I guarantee you, you will be saved. Really. You try this. Whenever you are down, you are depressed, you feel like all these things, just find somebody, share the gospel with this one. I guarantee you, you will be the first one who got saved. And then the other one got saved will be a huge bonus. Hallelujah. Amen. I think I should stop here. And I hope this is my testimony and I'll continue to do this. till the Lord comes. Many times, you know, my age is, oh, you should retire. What will you retire for? We never retire. In human life, it's like get old, you don't bear fruit. But the Bible says, you know, the righteous person, we are old, what? You still bear fruit. Hallelujah. Your human life is get old, you lost the reproduction ability. But the spiritual life is different. We do have the privilege, anytime, any age. Actually, spiritually speaking, as time goes on, we got to renew more. We should become more younger. We should be more vital. I mean, inwardly speaking, right? So, my encouragement is to whatever the age you are, we all need to bear spiritual fruit, to produce spiritual children to the glory of the Father and for our mutual enjoyment with the Lord Himself. Amen.
I must say that when I heard our brother's name, I thought I didn't know him. But we stayed together many years ago, so he was my roommate. But I feel we don't have to focus on our brother, but rather on what he has shared. I believe all of us, whoever we are, whatever we are, we should take this word to the Lord and ask the Lord, what is our condition in relation to bearing fruit? It's a very clear word, doesn't need interpretation, doesn't need much analyzing, but requires an answer. What about me? Am I bearing fruit? And if not, well, we have to take it to the Lord. Surely the Lord is merciful and the Lord is able. We will continue in Romans. You can pick up your morning watch. I would just like to mention that for the next three Lord's Days, the saints from Flushing will be here. So we need to pray that we can have good blending. So now we will sing a hymn. We will stay together, and then is your turn to share. Let's sing hymn 268. 268. Then we'll pray and our time to share.